A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and you are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us, then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." When they heard this, they were amazed, and leaving him, they went away. The Gospel of the Lord. I have a confession to make. When I first read this scripture passage and realized that I had signed up to preach on it, I thought, "Oh, blah. I've heard this one before. Repay to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Yeah, yeah, do this, do that. As the kids say, boring." Maybe you've heard this one before too, huh? When I started to study the passage in the Bible, the last line of the story really struck me. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Listen to that. Listen to that. They were amazed. The Pharisees were amazed at Jesus' answer. Amazed as in wonder, amazed as in surprised, flabbergasted, and dumbfounded. The Pharisees were amazed by Jesus' words. Then I went back to today's lectionary reading. That line about being amazed, that last line in the story, it's not there. We left it out. No amazement, no wonder, no dumbfoundedness, gone, erased from the Sunday reading. How can I preach on Matthew 22:22, the line left out? On the other hand, how can I not? Listen to it afresh. When they heard this, they were amazed, and leaving him, they went away. How do you amaze a Pharisee? They were the professionally holy of their day. They liked to debate. They liked to argue about Sabbath observances, and they liked to nitpick about tithes and taxes and the rules about washing. They thrived on it. It was almost like recreation to them. Plus, they were trying to trap Jesus in their little game. So, what could have touched the shrunken religiosity of the professionally holy that they were amazed by Jesus' answer? "Render to Caesar what is Caesar's," Jesus said. Did you ever imagine that the carpenter's son might have had a twinkle in his eye when he said that? When he handled the coin, was there tenderness in his touch? Was there a smile in his eyes when he said, "Give to God what is God's"? Can we taste the love for his Father in his tone? And was there a deep reverence in his voice when Jesus whispered the word God? However he said it, they were amazed. However he said it, it was not boring. What does it mean to render to God what is God's? The power of this passage pivots on our perception of God, doesn't it? When you and I hear the word God, what comes into the imagination? An old guy in a gray beard sitting on high telling us what to do? Yeah, yeah, blah, 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 blah. A distant, divine, and demanding deity? who set the world in motion and then walked away? Who is this God, anyway? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Last Tuesday, I woke at 5:45 in the morning. I walked out into the driveway in my slippers to watch the lunar eclipse. After a few minutes of basking in the glow of the half moon in the dark sky, that glowing object shrank almost to a crescent shape. Since I was pondering the rendering to Caesar and to God, I went to my car and I pulled a penny from my chlorine jar and I stuck it in my pocket and I went back to watch the moon. And I just stood there in the dark. The night breeze was cool on my cheek. The stars sparkled overhead, and the moon began to fade to nothingness as the shadow of the earth passed across it. Did you get to see it? Have you seen something like it? When I put my hand in my pocket, the coin was hard and small, necessary to life, yes, but not very big. When I looked up at the sky, the vastness of that grandeur filled me, and my rib cage swelled with warmth, and a little voice inside of me whispered, "Wow, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." How do we go from, "Oh, blah," to, "Oh, wow"? Do you ever feel like your faith has gone flat? How can we avoid shrinking into the bland religiosity of the professionally holy like the Pharisees? How can we cultivate the wonder of a small child? As I stood in a driveway, I recalled many years ago when I was in an ecumenical Bible study group of young mothers with small children. And one spring day, my lifelong Lutheran friend read a portion of the Passion story. And then she said, "And Jesus died for our sins. Jesus did that for us." My friend Sue, who hadn't been to church since she was 8 years old, her eyes got really big and they swelled with tears. And she said, "Wow, do you really believe that?" The rest of us didn't say anything. "Yeah, sure, of course we believed that." Her eyes were open to the beauty of that story for the first time, and she was amazed. Give to God what is God's. Do we really believe that? Are we amazed? And what about that little coin in my pocket? Nothing wrong with it. Caesar's coin is necessary to pay the bills, to make an income, to support a family, or to implement a vision. That is the work that is given to us humans to do. Yet these activities take place within a broader sphere of delight and wonder and joy, within a heavenly dance that never ends. And so, what about the line left out about the Pharisees being amazed by Jesus? Do we leave in the moralizing and leave out the amazement? Isaiah prophesied, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no other God besides me." So we give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and we give to God what is God's. Except when it all comes out in the wash, it's all God's anyway. And you can almost see Jesus grinning. So let us pray. For the beauty of the created world, Lord, we give you glory and honor. For the dignity of work and human labor, Lord, we give you praise. Save us from dullness. Don't ever let us leave you. And especially strengthen our sense of delight. For all things are yours, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you are amazing. We give you glory and honor. Through Christ, our grinning Lord. Amen.